The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Working remotely has become quite the norm for many, with some opting to work abroad from a different jurisdiction entirely. However, there are growing concerns over the employees in the Republic of Ireland working and living in the north as issues surrounding auto-enrolment and income tax arise. How has this become such a minefield for employers? For more on this, I'm joined now by Joanne Hyde, employment partner at employment lawyers Lewis Silkin Ireland. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, is this something new, or has there always been a case of workers living in one jurisdiction nipping across the border to work, be it going north or going south?
Well, I think there's always been that the traditional question of people, you know, living in Newry and working in Dundalk, and that has never caused an issue because all of the work was being done in one jurisdiction. I think what it's remote working that has really made this more complex, where you have people living in one country, working for an entity in another jurisdiction, but actually because they're remote working, the work is being done in a different place.
Before we talk about the problems that this is throwing up, let's talk about where you're domiciled. If you're working in one jurisdiction and domiciled in the other, whose tax regime impacts on your pay?
It should be where the work, it arises about where the work is done.
Okay.
So it isn't about where you're domiciled, it's where the work is done. And that's what causes the issue. And I think this is really coming up because of a lot of employers mandating more return to the office, and they're now actually almost discovering that there are people that are working in a different jurisdiction. When people were remote working, they didn't really realise whether you were doing it in your box room in Dublin or your box room in the north.
Now, people might say, look, I'm remote working, I'm in the cloud, effectively. It doesn't matter that I'm in my living room or wherever I might be, I'm actually in the cloud. I am not, if you like, attached to an employment base. Has that ever been tested?
certainly... I suppose there are a whole load of issues. What matters really is where the work is being done, from an employment law, from a tax perspective. From a tax perspective, there is revenue we'll look at for the purposes of saying where a company is taxed on what work it does. It'll look at where is the work being done. And by doing it in the cloud, as you say, Pat, in your living room, if a worker is signing contracts, creating product, the employer could be taxed in that jurisdiction where it's being done.
Yeah.
Also,
so what happens?
People have employment rights.
Joanne, if I'm someone who is constantly on the move for my company, I'm doing deals and I'm drawing up contracts in New York and Singapore, wherever. I'm forwarding those contracts back, signed and sealed, to the Dublin office. I mean, the work is not being done in Dublin. So how does that all function?
Now you're getting into quite complicated, tax rules. But yes, that is a big issue for a lot of employers in terms of where work is being done and where contracts are being created. And a lot of employers have very strict rules on the amount of time that workers can spend abroad. This all came to light, I suppose, after COVID, where a lot of people wanted to say, I can work and I can do my job in Spain, I can do my job wherever. And a lot of companies have very strict rules and saying you can't spend more than 2 weeks a year, 3 weeks a year, whatever it is, because of the risk that the employer could create a permanent establishment and could be subject to tax in those countries.
So if I ship myself off to Madeira, which many people did because they were offering incentives for people to work remotely during COVID, and there were a number of employees there, it could be decided by somebody somewhere, listen, you've got an outpost in Madeira. So.
Correct. That's exactly it. Yes. And your employees, as well as having an outpost there, your employees, are they subject to Irish law? Are they subject to Madeiran law? Whatever that brings about.
Now, how has auto-enrolment kind of exacerbated this problem?
Auto-enrolment comes into effect on the 1st of January for those of us in the Republic of Ireland. It has been in place in the UK, including Northern Ireland, for quite a while. But the auto enrollment is triggered by where a person is, what the term is, ordinarily working. So that's the term that the that is used to assess whether somebody is eligible for auto enrollment. So if somebody is actually remote working, so if they're employed by a company in the Republic of Ireland, but are ordinarily working in the north, then they may be regarded by the government there as being ordinarily working there, and therefore auto enrolled in their fund, and the vice versa for us here. So, and the government fund, you know, it doesn't look at anything beyond where is somebody ordinarily working. So there is a it's bringing to the fore where somebody is actually doing the work.
Okay, so someone who's been working remotely in Northern Ireland for a company based in Dublin or Donegal or whatever, they should have been automatically enrolled in the British scheme, the Northern Ireland scheme.
Exactly.
And if they hadn't, because they figured, I'm really working for Dublin, I'm not working, or Donegal, I'm not working for Belfast or Newry or Derry or whatever, and they just ignored it, they have been in breach.
The employer has been in breach, because it's the employer obligation to automatically enroll the person. So I think the fact that it's coming in for us here in the Republic of Ireland, that it's coming in January, has put a spotlight on where exactly are people working and resident, and if there's a difference between the two.
So basically where we're coming from here is that there's a situation like a lot of things that emerged from COVID, where we allowed things to evolve without necessarily thinking them through. The law of unintended consequences kicking in, which is now coming home to roost. That's the problem. Is it possible, though, we could just say, let it be, let it be. It's working fine. Thank you very much.
I think that has been what's going on for the last 4 or 5 years. I think what's really bringing it to the fore now, it's certainly in my experience, is not so much auto-enrollment. It's the fact that more and more companies are mandating a return to the office. And that then, so if they're saying, listen, we need you to be in 3 days, 4 days, 5 days a week in your physical office in, you know, Dublin 2, wherever it is, then they are realising that there's people that are working where they can't, in a location, if it's in the north, where that is physically not possible for them in terms of commuting distances. And that then is bringing to a head, well, if they can't comply with what is now an office policy, can we terminate their employment? You know, what? And if we don't terminate their employment, what does this throw up in terms of employment risks, tax risks, immigration risks, auto-enrollment risks, all of those things that we've just been talking about?
And of course, people will use fake addresses, you know, the granny's address or the cousin's address or whatever, maybe to get around all this.
They will, but I think it's when there's a requirement to be physically in an office, that is when the fake address won't get yeah. around that, unless, you know, you can come and stay with granny, you know, a couple of nights a week.
All right. Well, it's very interesting, and thank you very much for drawing our attention to it. It will certainly give food for thought to some people who are working remotely in Northern Ireland for a company based in the Republic, and of course, vice versa, because both things happen. This question, though, is coming in. If I work in the north and live in the south, I would pay tax in the north. Would I get my pension and child benefit in the south? That's from Jens in Clonakilty. So living and working, if I work in the north, live in the south, I would pay tax in the north. Would I get my pension and child benefit in the south? Joanne, can you answer that?
I'm not sure that I can confidently answer that, Pat, but I do think that if you're Social Security will be in the country where the person is paying tax. So I would think that it's in that scenario that it's in the north, but I wouldn't want to stake my career on it.
Because, I mean, the same thing would apply, which would be utterly unacceptable, that you're working in the north and you declare yourself unemployed in the south and get social welfare.
Exactly.
You
know? Yeah, exactly. I think Social Security can only arrive in the one place.
Final question from Tom in Abbeyleix. What does Joanne mean by where the work is done? Does she mean where that living room and the computer, the laptop are, or where the employer is based?
It's where the living room and the laptop, and it's where the person is doing the work. That's where the work is done.
Joanne, thank you very much once again for joining us. That's Joanne Hyde, employment partner at Lewis Silkin Ireland.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.